rest are all right. That gives us some room to work. That's good. Hey, August 12th, not this Sunday, but next Sunday, we're going to be showing this production for fellowship, and then there'll be lunch served afterwards if you want to hang out for lunch. We ordered this a ways back. My intention was to show it on July 4th weekend, but we didn't get it in time. So it's the movie Monumental. We did go to the movie theater to see it. It's an excellent, excellent movie. So if you can be with us next week for the movie and for lunch, you'll get blessed. I'll put these in the back, and you'll be able to get a copy of them later on so you know what's going on. I want to share on the topic of lies. God bless you. Lies that empower. That's my topic tonight. Lies that empower. And my reason for sharing this is not to be controversial or to present any new light, quote unquote, with regards to the particular subject, because I don't believe there's nothing new on this subject. I just wanted to clarify the topic and the subject, because when we believe a certain way, that, and if the belief is wrong, that belief has a side effect. That's the best way I can explain it to you. Wrong doctrine, wrong belief in a person's life has side effects, and we'll look at some of them this evening. The devil has no power over the believer except it be given to him. Jesus Christ has totally and freely set each person free who calls upon him to be his Lord and his Savior. Now, in the beginning, when God formed, made, and created man, he gave man the right to choose. He gave man the right to choose. The freedom of choice is also known as free will. Free will is mankind's right to make choices for himself. Free will is man's right to choose for himself. It's the power of independent action and choice. The ability lovingly given to man to act or to make choices as a free and autonomous being, and not solely as a result of compulsion or predestination. Not forced into it. This isn't the way the game is written, and this is the way it has to work. It's your right to choose. And it's your right to choose without anyone forcing you or something else pushing you in that direction. Free will, the right of choice, it's a right. It's not a privilege. There's a difference between a right and a privilege. A privilege is a benefit. It's an advantage. And that may not be available to everybody. And as such, a privilege can be revoked. To have a valid driver's license is a privilege. It's not a right. There's no law that states your license is granted to you and protected under the Constitution of the United States. As a matter of fact, if you get too many tickets, the state will revoke your privilege to legally drive. Now, I know this to be true because when I took my driver's test, this was one of the questions. Is a driver's license a privilege or a right? And you know what I answered? It's my right. You know what they gave me? An F. It's a privilege. But a right is somewhat a different issue. A right is a law guaranteed to you by the country that you live in. We have what is known as the Bill of Rights here in America. The Bill of Rights include the first 10 amendments of the United States Constitution. And under such, the people's basic human rights are protected. Free will, freedom of choice, free will, is a right. It's not a privilege granted to mankind. It's a right granted to mankind by a loving Heavenly Father. Now, as a right, we have the God-given choice to do whatsoever we want to do, because it's our right to do so. We can choose to do right. We can choose to do wrong. Good, bad, black or white, fast or slow, or anywhere in between, we have the God-given right to choose freely. Genesis chapter 2. I'd like you to go there. And in Genesis chapter 2, in the very beginning, when God set up so many, many laws that are still in effect today, He spoke to Adam and He spoke the truth of the Word, and He told Adam what He expected Adam to do. He told Adam what would happen if he didn't follow through on his instructions. And in Genesis 2, verse 15, it says, "The Lord took the man and put him in the Garden of Eden to dress it and to keep it. And the Lord God commanded the man, saying, of every tree of the garden thou mayest freely eat. But of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil thou shalt not eat of it. For in the day that thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely" what? Okay, so Adam got his instructions on how to behave and what would bless God. And he also was warned of the consequences of disobedience. We go to chapter 3. And we begin in verse 9, we read, "And the Lord God called unto Adam, and he said unto him, Where art thou? And he, Adam, said, I heard thy voice in the garden, and I was afraid, because I was naked, and I hid myself. And he said, Who told you that thou was naked? Hast thou eaten of the tree whereof I commanded thee that thou shouldest not eat? And the man said, The woman whom thou gavest to be with me, she gave me of the tree, and I did" what? Eat. Notice what the verse doesn't say. The verse doesn't say, I had no choice in this matter. You created me to sin, so one day you could send a Savior named Jesus Christ. I was predestined to this. Doesn't say that, does it? Doesn't say that Adam was a pawn in God's chess game and was being moved around to a predetermined square on the board that God had already plotted through. Doesn't say that either. And here lies one of the greatest laws in the Bible. The law of free will. The law of free will. The law of free will gives you the right to do whatsoever you choose to do. That's what the law states. Now, because Adam had the right to choose, God, who is a righteous and just God, had to watch as Adam handed over God's gift that he once gave to Adam. Adam handed over his authority to rule over God's creation, the earth, in this case. And who did Adam hand it over to? The devil. The devil. Did Adam have the right to do that? Yes, he did. Adam had what? Free will. It was his choice. God didn't step in. God didn't say this is illegal. God didn't say you can't do this. The devil knew that he had every right to attack Adam in the way he did. And the devil also knew that Adam had the right to transfer over that which God gave to him, because Adam had the right to choose. And God, because he gave this to Adam, he sat there and he had a watch as Adam handed over the keys to the kingdom of earth, so to speak. You know, it's kind of like you sitting on the sideline watching your child being deceived out of the lollipop you gave him, and you said, don't give this to anybody but me. Right, and then somebody comes along and you're watching them and you're watching them and you're watching them, and the kid decides to give it away. Adam was not in a good position. Look at Luke chapter 4. in Luke chapter 4, in verse 6, it says, "And the devil said unto him," talking about Jesus Christ, "All this power will I give thee in the glory of them, for that is delivered unto me, and to whomsoever I will, I give it." The word power here in Luke 4, 6 is the word authority in the text. The New International translates the verse properly, and it says, "And to him he said, I will give you all their authority and splendor, for it has been given to me, and I can give it to anyone I want to." Once again, I want you to notice what the verse doesn't say. It doesn't say that Jesus Christ turned to the devil and said, "You are a liar." Jesus knew that the devil wasn't lying here. He also knew that he could make good on his offer if he chose to do so. However, that's highly improbable because the devil's lower than a pregnant ant's belly, and he's seldom true to his word. And if and when the devil does produce anything, he does it only with the view of a greater evil that he's planning to spring on mankind later on down the road. So if the devil does give you, quote unquote, something good or a blessing, it's only to set you up for a cursing later on. Look at John chapter 8, Matthew, Mark, Luke, John. John chapter 8. Verse 44, Jesus in confrontation once again with the religious leaders, and he says, "You are of your father the devil, and the lust of your father will you do. He was a murderer from the beginning, and he abode not in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own, for he is a liar and the father of it." John 8:44 informs us that the devil is a liar, among other things, and the father of it. One of the lies, now listen, one of the lies that the devil uses to empower his will in the lives of believers is this. This is what he gets a believer to believe. The devil, this is the doctrine, the devil has no legal rights over the believer. They were all done away with in Christ. Now, before you go nuts, just listen to me. That's what is taught. The teaching is the devil has no legal rights over the believer. They were all done away with in Christ. Now, on the surface, this sounds like a declaration of victory of what we have in Christ. But I would like you to consider the following questions. What would happen if a believer chose to give Satan the right to operate in his life? Does the believer have the God-given right to choose? Can a believer exercise this God-given right at any time he wants? All right. So if a believer gives the adversary the right to operate in his life, is this not legal and binding? Is not God, as a just and a legal God, bound to honor the believer's right of choice? Was he, as a just and legal God, bound to honor Adam's choice? Now, if you answer no, you got to explain to me the story of Adam and Eve. You got to explain to me the story of David and Bathsheba, Samuel and Saul. As a matter of fact, I would like to you to explain to me the history of Israel. Judas, Peter, Paul, and every other person written about in the Bible. If I, by the freedom of my will, give the devil access to my life, then he will accept my invitation. If I invite the devil to my party, when he comes to the front door and presents his invitation, he has a right to be there because I said so. You got it? My free will decision to invite him gives him a right to be there. Now you can understand this. Is that right? But some are still hung up on the old teaching that the devil has no legal rights over the believer, has no rights over the believer. If you continue to believe that the devil has no rights over you, he will continue to oppress and silently attack you, and you'll never know he's there. And this is what I mean when I say lies that empower. False doctrine is one way the devil hides in a believer's life. Now, God does expect you to know, and he does expect you to obey and believe his word. He expects you to do the right thing. And no good-hearted believer in his right mind would ever invite the devil into his life. That'd be foolish, right? The problem is, the devil's not that dumb. He knows that no good-hearted believer would ever intentionally invite him into his life. So what the devil has to do is he has to seek more creative, quote-unquote, ways to get into a believer's life. Now let's go back to the book of Genesis and consider the garden record again. Genesis chapter 3. The Bible says in verse 1 that the serpent was more subtle than any of the beasts of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said unto the woman, yea, had God said, ye shall not eat of the tree of the garden. The rest of the record continues. You get down to verse 6, and you find that the woman says, the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and it was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree to be desired to make one wise. And she took of the fruit thereof, and did eat, and gave also unto her husband with her, and he did what? What was the result of the devil's deception? What was the result of the devil's lie in Eve's life? Well, the result was what happened. One of the results. Let me show you one of the results. Go back to Luke chapter 4. It says, the woman took and did eat and gave also unto her husband. So the woman took the apple, quote unquote, the woman took the fruit. She ate. Adam was there with her because she saw Adam there shortly after because it says, and she gave this fruit to her husband. The woman ate first. Okay. Now when she came to her husband, God's word to Adam was, in the day that you eat thereof, thou shalt surely what? She ate. But when she came to her husband, she was of necessity what? Alive. Right? She had to be alive. Because not a corpse doesn't hand somebody a fruit and say, eat. Okay? So perhaps Adam didn't recognize, perhaps Adam didn't fully understand what was going on, because God said, thou shalt surely die. The woman still comes after she eats, and she's evidently, what? Alive. So maybe this played into the part of the deception with Adam. The result in Luke chapter 4, verse 5, part one of the results was, and the devil taketh him up into a high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world in a moment of time. And the devil said unto him, verse 6, all this power will I give thee, and the glory of them, for that is delivered unto me, and to whomsoever I wilt, I'll give it. If thou will, worship me, all will be thine. Who has the right to rule over the earth in this age? The devil does. See, that was one of the results of sin, of disobedience, of the deception, of whatever you want to call it. The adversary now has the legal right to rule in this day and in this time. In the garden, who had the right to do that? Adam did. But Adam gave it away by his sin. Look at 2 Corinthians chapter 4. In the garden, Adam was God's under-ruler. 2 Corinthians 4:4 tells us a different story. In whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. Who is the God of this world? Legally, the devil. Who gave the devil these legal rights to rule over this world? Adam gave it to him. Adam gave it to him by his free will choice. How did the devil get Adam to hand over these rights to him? Adam what? Tricked him, right. Deceived him. Adam disobeyed, right? Genesis 2:15 said, but of the tree, 15 through 17, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and of evil, thou shalt not eat of it. For in the day that you eat thereof, thou shalt surely what? In short, Adam sinned. Adam sinned. Now, Adam didn't realize how far-reaching his disobedience would go. I don't believe that. Not for a moment. I don't believe that when Adam sinned, he wasn't fully cognizant of, he was aware that he sinned, but he didn't really understand the depth and the length and the breadth and the height of where that sin would take mankind. The earth was cursed. Rulership was transferred over to the devil. Women now were going to have labor in bringing forth children. Thorns and thistles would grow out of the ground. In the sweat of your face, man was going to have to work. And then physical death began and has continued ever since. All of these things the devil didn't disclose, in other words. But all of these things the devil now has a right to, as the God of this world. He continues to kill people. He continues to hurt people, this sort of thing, because of Adam's disobedience, because of Adam's sin. If Adam knew the result of his sin and what the result of his sin would bring, I don't believe for one minute he would have went through with it. If someone sat down with Adam and opened it up and said, "This, if you do this, this is going to happen, this is going to happen, this is going to happen, this is going to, this, I don't believe he would have did it. He would have had it been out of his mind, and Adam wasn't dumb. But you see, that's the whole point. The devil operates in secret. He never reveals his true motives or nature. He doesn't disclose everything. Do you ever sign a paper and not read the fine print? Or the fine print's written in Spanish? Right, or something? To summarize this point, when Adam sinned, he gave the devil a legal right to become the god of this age and to rule over the earth. Luke 4:5, Matthew 4:8, 2 Corinthians 4:4. He gave it away. He chose. Likewise, when we sin, we give the devil a legal right of invitation into our lives to oppress us. The devil is a legal expert. He knows if he has a right to be there, and if he has a right to be in a believer's life because the believer is continuing in sin, he won't leave. Because the devil has the invitation to present, to say, "I've been invited in." The devil has the right to rule in this age. He knows this. He got that right by Adam, who gave it to him when he sinned. Now, if and when we continue in sin, we give him a right of passage into our lives. In order to remove him from our lives, God has lovingly provided a way to cancel the devil's rights in Jesus Christ, our wonderful Lord and Savior. But what I want you to see is this, and this is real important. We cancel and remove the devil from our life by our free will decision, once again, to confess our sin and to repent from it. In other words, to turn from it. Free will can get you into trouble, But free will can also get you out of the soup. Look at 1 John chapter 1. You see, God honors his laws. God honors the right of free will, of the freedom of choice that he gave to man. Free will get you to heaven. Free will get you to hell. Free will get you in trouble. Free will can also get you out of trouble. Free will can get you blessed, and free will can get you to receive a whole bunch of consequences and even cursed for your disobedience. It all depends on our free will choice. This is where we come into play. It's not that we're pawns. It's not that we're in a game. It's not that we don't have control over what we do and where we say and where we go and the rights that, and the words that come out of our mouths. You see, God is not in control. God doesn't control us. Okay? If God was going to control anybody, he would have controlled Adam in the garden, and we would have eliminated all this mess. But God trusts us. He believes in us, and he gave to us the right of decision. In 1 John chapter 1, in verse 9, we read, if we confess our what? Okay, who does the confessing? We do. Whose sins do we confess? Our sins. I don't confess your sins and tell God how bad you are. You don't tell him how bad I am. You'd be there all night. It says if we confess what? Our sins. He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Say it. We invite the devil into our life by our sin. Now, we don't consciously turn around and say, oh, devil, come on in. See? Eve and Adam and Eve didn't consciously say to the devil, oh, devil, here's the right to rule over God's creation. Here's all the authority. No. What happened was they sinned. And the consequences of that sin allowed the adversary to touch areas of their life he had not been privy to before. You see, when we sin, we invite the devil in, and he's able to touch areas of our life that he had not been privy to before because of our sin. Because if we knew that by our sin, for instance, the devil's going to be able to make us sick, okay? We would never invite the devil in because who wants to get sick? No. But if the devil uses pleasure as a vice in our life, and he gets me or he gets someone to commit adultery if he's a married person. Okay? If that, God bless you, if that person who commits adultery picks up a sexually transmitted disease, an STD, right? Now the adversary, by that act of adultery, has been able to introduce sickness into that person's life because of the sin. Right? Now, the person who's going out to cat on the town doesn't go out and say, oh, I'm going to go out and pick up the disease tonight and invite that into his life, because the person would never do that, would they? No, you see, it's just a byproduct of the sin. That's the way the adversary works. So when we sin, we give the adversary rights in our life that he did not have before we committed that sin. And he's a legal expert. Do you ever remember this? Legally, the man of body and soul, legally, who does he belong to? Yeah. Who taught us that? That's right. Because legally, he does. If the believer chooses to invite the devil into their life, the devil's got a right to be there because he's got the invitation. But when the believer chooses to get rid of the devil and confesses sins, confesses broken fellowship, in essence, what the believer does is he uninvites the devil. In other words, he cancels his visa and he tells him to leave in the name of Jesus Christ. We take back the rights that we gave him over our lives by calling on the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, as 1 John 1:9 teaches. Now, this is important, especially so when the ministry of deliverance is needed in a believer's life. Because first you have to deal with the darkness in a person's life. And the reason why you deal with that darkness, you deal with that sin, is because you want to cancel the devil's right of invitation to be there. If a person has sin in their life and the devil knows they have sin, the devil's got a right to be there. And you go and try to pull the devil out of that person, the devil's just going to hold on, and it's going to be a mess. But if you get the person to see the sin and confess it as such, then in that act of confession and repentance, of turning from the sin, the adversary's right to be there, his invitation, his visa, is canceled. And now he no longer has any right to be there, simply by the confession of the believer saying, I don't want you there in my life anymore. I made this sin. I screwed up. I'm sorry. I'm calling on the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. You got to go. But to try to get rid of the devil without confessing the sin is a big problem. This is why you work with a person. You get them to see the darkness. You give them a chance to confess it and to repent. Once this is done, the devil's visa is revoked by the free will decision of the individual to call on the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. The devil will not leave if you protect him and give him a right to stay. And this sounds strong, but you think it through. The devil will not leave if you protect him and you say, I want him here. If God would cast out Satan against a believer's free will decision, then he would have to overstep the believer's free will decision to choose. Thus, he would be violating the law of free will. If God was going to do anything and interfere in the affairs of mankind, he would have did it in the garden. Okay? If I want to continue in a sin, okay? The confession of my mouth and the actions of my heart that I want to continue in the sin invite the devil into my life. Now, if someone confronts me and says, give up this sin, this is wrong, you shouldn't be doing this. And I say, no, I don't want to give it up. Okay? In essence, what I'm saying is, I want the devil here. I know that what I'm doing is wrong, that it's glorifying the devil and not God, but I don't want to change. God's not going to come down and say, you're changing right now, I order it. He doesn't do that. That's a loving God. But you know what else that is? That puts the responsibility of our lives plumb on whose shoulders? And you are not the victim. You know what you're doing. You've made your choice. In other words, you ever hear this? You made your bed, now sleep in it, now lie in it. That's what happens. Now look, there's certain circumstances that this doesn't carry through. For instance, take mental illness. Take a child, for instance, or in the raising of the dead. That person doesn't have a freedom of choice, perhaps. Maybe their mind's wrong. Maybe the child's too young and the parent, by right of relational authority, has the right to believe for that child, in behalf of that child, you understand? Or if the person's dead, then and he gets raised from the dead, of course that person didn't have the free will choice of anything. Now there are exceptions, but as a general rule, dealing with mankind as a whole, on just going on the normal plane, man has a right to say yay and man has a right to say no. And it's sad, but the sad truth is this: if I choose to allow the devil in my life and want to remain in that sin that's keeping him there, then the devil has a right to be there. He has a right of invitation, and who's the one who gave it to him? I did. Understand? But also, if I choose to get rid of him, 1 John says I can do what? I can get rid of him. I can get rid of him. This is why you need to understand. Because if you believe the teaching that the devil has no rights in your life, that the devil has no legal right over your life, this is what will happen. You'll walk around and you'll do whatever you damn well please, and you'll act any way you want to act. You know why? Because you got a trump card. You know what your trump card says? The devil has no legal rights over me. They've all been canceled in Jesus Christ. Now, you know what you just did by that type of thinking? This is what you just did. You invited him into your life, and you didn't know that you invited him into your life, and you don't know that he's there, and you don't know that he's making you sick. You don't know that he's making you poor. You don't know that he's causing you problems in your family, problems in your job, problems in your body. You don't know that he's causing you all these problems. And because you are of the opinion that the devil has no legal rights over the believer, so the devil can't be the source of any of these problems in my life, will you ever consider the possibility to look for him in your life to cure the problems that you're going through? Absolutely what? Not. You know what you'll do? You'll throw scriptures at yourself. You'll read more. You'll try to do this better. You'll do this. You'll do this. You'll do this. You'll do all the other things. But if you invite him into your life and you continue in certain sins and you allow him there, he'll sit there and he will deceive you and he will oppress you and he will torment you for your lifetime, and he'll do it without you even being aware that he's present. And that's a good trick, right? And it all happens because we believe, because somewhere we hear the devil doesn't have any legal rights in our life. So we just close that door. It can't be the devil, because he doesn't have any legal rights in a believer's life. Can't be the devil. So let's look for the problem somewhere else. Lies that empower. The dead are alive now. That's another lie that empowers the devil. If you believe that the dead are alive now, that they're up in heaven, that they're having a party, that you can communicate with them because they're alive, that they're looking over you, watching over you, giving you direction for your life, you just open up the whole field of what? Spiritualism to yourself. And you open that field up because you believed a lie. You believed a false doctrine. In particular, the dead are alive. And so now I got a right to go to a seance and listen to my grandmother, my uncle, my father give me direction from heaven, because the dead are alive. You got it? And I'm using the Bible to validate this belief, however wrongly divided, but this is what I'm using. See, this is another lie that empowers the adversary. And once you believe this lie, this whole other area of deception opens up to you. You believe this lie over here, this whole other area of deception opens up to you. He tells you another lie. This whole, you understand? This is why we have to know the Word of God. We have to understand the Word of God. And we have to be doers of the Word of God. Okay? So instead of mouthing little cliches that you hear, why don't you start thinking things through, because some of these little cliches that you've heard and you've been taught are the very cliches that have been allowed the adversary to operate in your life undetected for years. So, Father, thanks for your word. Thanks for your love. Thanks how you watch over us. And you continue to teach and instruct us, Father, that we could be doers of your word and bring glory to your name in the Lord Jesus Christ. And we love you, Father, and we thank you for these things in Jesus' precious name. Amen.